This is Smart Consulting Sourcing, the only podcast about consulting procurement or how to buy consulting services. You'll get tips on how to use consulting, buy consulting, and managing the consulting. And now your host, Ellen Lafitte.
Welcome back to Smart Consulting Sourcing, the most trusted podcast for insight into the world of consulting procurement. My name is Hélène and I am your host. And today we will continue from where we left off last week, where we talked about asymmetrical information. So we looked at what asymmetrical information is all about and that it occurs when one party is in a transaction, has more or better information than the other. And in the grand marketplace of life, this imbalance can tilt the scales, affecting not just the price, but also the quality of goods and services that are exchanged. But today, we will delve deeper into the realm of asymmetrical information and examine effective strategies for overcoming this imbalance. So buckle up as we're about to embark on an insightful journey. If you missed our last episode, no worries. You can catch up on all our insightful discussions anytime on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, you name it. And if you're hungry for more, you can head over to consultingquest.com for white papers, ebooks, and even transcripts of a podcast. If you're loving the insight, why not share the love, right? Pass this episode along to your circle and drop us a review. It helps more than you know. Plus, we've got some thrilling workshop on the horizon, from honing your negotiating skills with consulting firms to nailing those RFPs. So if you want in, just shoot an email at hcl@consultingquest.net. I can't wait to see you there. All right, then. Now let's get back to today's discussion on how to get started with asymmetrical information. So we'll also set some light on the importance of personnel management and client advocacy. So let's dig in. How to get started, you ask, right? So stepping into the consulting market can feel indeed overwhelming, and it's vast with a maze of services and firms, each claiming to be the best. So let's get through the noise together. You know, here's the lowdown on understanding this market to make informed choices for your business. First off, let's get one thing straight. The consulting world isn't a one-size-fits-all. It's segmented into various specialties, from strategy and operations to IT and HR consulting. It's not just about picking the big names off the shelf. It's about finding the firm that shines in addressing the specific needs of your company. So you need a revolution in your IT infrastructure, or maybe a complete overhaul of your operational processes. You know, rest assured, there is a firm out there that's made a name for itself in exactly that domain. So here's an insider tip. Consulting firms often tailor the services not just to industries, but to specific regions. In fact, you'll notice that firms in certain regions naturally gravitate towards serving particular industries and capabilities. Take Europe, for instance. They're known for its prowess in operations excellence, while the US leads in leadership and innovation strategies. So even within a single country, the focus can shift dramatically. You know, New York is the powerhouse of finance, right? While Seattle takes the crown in aerospace. No surprise, right? So getting to grips with the mechanics of how consulting works is more than just business savvy. You know, it's your key to mastering negotiations. Take, for example, the fact that most partners in consulting firms bill only 50% of the time. Surprise? You know, the other half is often dedicated to commercial work, laying the groundwork for future projects and engagements. You know, this insight into their business model is invaluable when you're evaluating a proposal that they've put in front of you. When consulting firms draft a proposal, they're essentially estimating the workload required to achieve your objective and then applying their pricing. Typically, this follows a cost plus margin approach, where they calculate the cost of delivering the project and add the project margin on top. However, it's not always, you know, that cut and dry, right? Sometimes they opt for a value-based pricing strategy, particularly for projects where the anticipated impact or the value to the client is significantly high. Understanding the nuances between these proposals, how the project is structured, including phasing and staffing and timeline and pricing, of course, is critical. And it's about knowing what's reasonable and what's not for your specific project. You know, for instance, consider the length of a strategy project. A 6-month timeline might raise eyebrows. You know, strategy projects, by their nature, tend to be more intensive, but shorter in duration, often below 12 weeks. So the navigating the complexity of consulting proposals require a keen understanding of not just workload and staffing, but also pricing. Consulting rates can feel like a library, you know, varying significantly by region, industries, capabilities, and consultant profiles. For instance, the price gap between a tier one and a tier two consultant for the same capability can hover around 40%. While the difference between a strategy consultant and an operations consultant might double. So gaining a reference in pricing is like having a map in this maze, ensuring you're not caught off guard, quotes. And remember, being knowledgeable is your greatest asset in negotiation. But it's not just about having the right information. The team you bring to the table plays a pivotal role. Your procurement teams tend to navigate the unique landscape of consulting negotiations where the traditional aggressive, I will crush you approach just does not work. And consulting is about value, not just about cost. A fair price reflects the value delivered. And if it's not met, you might find the scope of your project narrowing as if by magic. It's also a dance of mutual respect, where both parties acknowledge and appreciate the value the other brings. Each project and consequently each negotiation is a unique beast. Preparing means understanding all possible alternatives, familiarizing yourself with market rates for similar projects, and having a grasp of typical project duration. This is not just about not going in blind. It's about negotiating from a position of strength, armed with knowledge and insight. And there's competitive bidding, arguably your most effective tool in a negotiation toolkit. It's the mechanism that allows you to compare firms on a like-for-like basis, you know, laying out how different firms approach your project, their pricing models, and what they're promising to deliver. This not only bolsters your negotiation position, but also provides a crystal clear picture of the market landscape. So we often say that knowledge is power, but when it comes to navigating the consulting world, this couldn't be truer. The key to overcoming asymmetrical information in consulting procurement? Well, it boils down to doing your homework and upskilling your teams. Because if you don't, consultants naturally have the upper hand. They're expert in their domain, knowing every nook and cranny of their trade. But when you equip yourself with similar expertise, well, the game changes. You're no longer at the mercy of their proposals. Instead, you become a formidable counterpart in the negotiation process. And this doesn't mean gearing up for battle in an Attila the Hun style. Far from it. It's about ensuring that you're only buying what you genuinely need and that expectations are crystal clear on both sides of the table. In short, it's about creating a win-win scenario, the only real way to work effectively with consultants. Now, in consulting, measuring value and performance often feels like navigating uncharted waters. You know, each consulting firm and client seems to whip up their own recipe. Seldom do those recipes get shared, unfortunately. So it's a silence that echoes across the industry, leaving room for ambiguity and missed opportunities for improvement. You know, just yesterday, I was in a call where a consultant expressed genuine gratitude for feedback on a proposal they did not win. He said, "Thank you so much for this feedback. It means so much to me." And it struck me how rare that moment of connection, of learning, right? Whereas my sensitivity to continuous improvement stems from my early days implementing ISO 9000 standards. That experience ingrained in me the value of structured feedback loops and the pursuit of excellence. And here's the thing, you know, most consultants aren't just open to improvement, they are eager for it. They want to fine-tune their proposal, enhance their service delivery, satisfy the client, and naturally win more projects. So this brings me to one of my biggest pet peeves, the absence of a standard measure of performance in the consulting industry. So let's imagine now that we have a framework that not only tracks performance metrics, but also facilitates transparent, standardized feedback. You know, this would be a game changer, moving us from relying on brand reputation, which, let's be honest, sometimes boils down to just brand awareness, to a more concrete and realistic measure of quality. You know, brand awareness, in simple terms, is how familiar people are with a brand. It doesn't necessarily reflect the quality or effectiveness of a consulting firm's services, but rather how recognizable their name is on the market. And this distinction is crucial when we talk about measuring the true value consulting firms bring to the client. And I know what some of you might be thinking, but we have consulting firm rankings. Yeah, well, I could spend hours discussing this, and actually I did in episode 104, but I'll reference at the end. But to cut to the chase, these rankings come with three main biases. Often, these rankings are more a measure of the firm's market visibility than its actual performance of client satisfaction. Number two, there's a tendency to spotlight the bigger players, you know, perpetuating the notion that bigger automatically means better. And third, these evaluations assess firms at the brand level, which doesn't necessarily speak to the quality of individual consultants or specific project outcomes. After all, it's the people, not the brand, that makes consulting engagement successful. So these rankings are interesting, sure, but they're relying on proxies for quality, like brand reputation and marketing budgets, skewing, you know, the playing field in favor of the larger firms. They don't tell us for this specific type of project, this firm itself, which is precisely the kind of feedback that we need. So what's the solution? Well, it's clear. We need a standardized process to evaluate consulting performance. Imagine a system that could be shared from client to client, always respecting confidentiality, of course. A system that digs deep into project-specific, you know, examining project management, expertise level, trust-building capacity, impact, and value for money. These are the markers that really say this project was a triumph. So why is it so crucial? You know, because it offers consultants a transparent platform to show potential clients exactly what they're capable of beyond the superficial. It's an opportunity to move past the flashy presentations adorned with hundreds of logos, some of which might not have seen a consultant's touch in over 5 years. And yes, you caught me. After that, sometimes the old logos didn't get swapped out for the updated ones. It's a little of a telltale, right? Instead of boasting, we work for Disney, could be sharing, we've tackled a similar project for a major player in the entertainment industry. And here is the detailed feedback we received. So this approach changes the game. It shifts the focus from who they work for to what they've actually accomplished. It's about providing concrete evidence of success, laying out, you know, the what, the how, the why of past projects in a way that's meaningful and relevant to potential clients. And I think that's the kind of transparency and accountability that can transform the consulting industry, fostering a marketplace where quality and performance are visible and valued above all. And now you might wonder if this solution is so clear-cut. What hasn't it happened yet? Well, let's turn the tables for a moment and consider. Who holds the reins in the market? And who has the resources to develop and implement such standards? That's right, the big players. But here's the million-dollar question. Why would these industry giants pave the way for the methodology that could potentially undercut their own position? The short answer? They wouldn't. This push for transparency, while beneficial for the industry at large, poses a risk to those at the top. It would throw open the doors for smaller consulting firms, evening out the competition. And while that's a win for fairness and quality, it's not necessarily seen as a win for those who currently lead the pack. You know, many smaller firms that might champion such change simply lack the financial muscle to bring these standards to life. So who's left that can really make a difference? Yeah, the client. Well, you're the one who stands to gain the most from this transparency and standardization. And paradoxically, you're the ones with the collective power to demand and drive the change. It's a classic case of needing to be the change you want to see. right? The big consulting firms have little incentive to disrupt the status quo that works so well for them. But here's the ironic part. I truly believe that the big consulting firms will actually benefit from this kind of transformation too. It would give them a chance to sharpen their positioning, showcasing their true areas of expertise rather than spreading the all too common, we can do it all message. But you know, let's be real, as a professional and a mother of three, I can confidently say that nobody does everything perfectly. There are always concessions, always corners that need to be cut. And if you could see my living room right now, where my dog, my cat, and my sons, rugby cleats, are living the best life, you'd get exactly what I mean. But ironically, this transformation could empower the leading firms to rightfully claim the title of best in X or Y capability, thereby justifying their premium fees. So it's a win-win that refines their value proposition and reassures clients that investing in top-tier expertise. So whether you're on the client side of consulting or you're a consultant yourself and this conversation strikes a chord with you, I encourage you to reach out. You know, let's connect, explore this idea further together. So now, as we wrap up this second episode of the intriguing world of asymmetrical information, let's ponder a question that might seem straightforward at first glance. Are you okay with buying something unknown to you? Hello? Please spin that a bit. Would you ever consider buying a house without walking through its rooms, without checking the electrical wiring, the insulation, or how well the heating works? No, I thought not. At first, they're the same, that you should conduct your business dealings as a good family man. Now, I'll be the first to admit that this sounds a tad outdated and maybe a smidge paternalistic. So let's give it a little 21st century polish and say, you should shop for your business like you're shopping for yourself. So that means doing your homework, understanding the stakes, diving into conversions, and weighting performance, not just on a broad scale, but specifically tailored to your needs. Now imagine you're on the market for a new car, mainly to drop off your kids at school that's merely a stone's throw away about 4 kilometers from your doorstep. Do you really need a Formula One car for that? Sure, it's the crème de la crème, but it might be a tad overkill for school runs. You know, you catch my drift? So how do we tackle asymmetrical information in the consulting realm? It boils down to knowing your market, understanding the offers, the service on offer, and really getting to grips with your suppliers. It's about making informed choice, not just taking a leap in the dark based on glossy presentations and big names. Just like you wouldn't buy a car, sports car for urban school commute, you wouldn't engage in high-powered consulting firm for a project that doesn't match their or your scale. So as we wrap up today, for those eager to explore more about consulting, you can check out episode 104. It's called Consulting Rankings and How to Use Them as Consulting Buyers. It's available on consultingquest.com under Thought Leadership. There, I break down popular ranking systems and their application. Also, you can visit consource.io for the article, What Makes a Performance Evaluation System for Consulting Work, where we delve into creating effective measurement systems for consulting projects. Next week, we're diving into a topic that's sure to pique your interest, the nuts and bolts of consulting pricing. We'll unravel the complexity of how consulting rates are determined and what it means for you. So it's shaping up to be a fascinating discussion, so make sure you tune in. Thanks for hanging out with me today as we navigated the twists and turns of asymmetrical information in consulting. I hope you find it as intriguing as I did. So catch up next week with another deep dive into the consulting procurement world. So your thoughts and feedback are always welcome. So feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn or drop me an email at hcl@consultingquest.com. You all know I'm always game for a chat. Until next time, stay safe and keep up the smart consulting sourcing game. Au revoir for now and happy sourcing.
You've been listening to Smart Consulting Sourcing, the only podcast about consulting procurement. We hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, hit the website at consultingquest.com. Find us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube. For questions and comments, send an email to ellen.lafitte@consultingquest.com. See you next time.